Good evening, everyone. Thank you. I call the City Council March 21st, 2022 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Eight present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. At this time, I'd like to call on Councilman Lattiser, who is going to introduce an individual who is going to lead us in the salute to the flag. Then we will play the national anthem, and then we will have a presentation after the salute. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome, everyone, to Warwick City Council Chamber. It's truly an honor and a privilege to present this resolution of congratulations to Mr. Frank Galligan. He is the principal of the Warwick Next School, which also happens to be in Ward 5. Just throw that in, principal. This is just an incredible accomplishment, a significant honor, not just for Principal Galligan, for his students, for his staff, for the city of Warwick, for the school administration, for everyone that's in this community. The recognition is such that he was selected from 500 principals in the state of Rhode Island. Think about that. And we have him, Mr. Frank Galligan, as the recipient here with us this evening. I'm going to read the resolution of congratulations to you in a moment, but I want to share also, I've had numerous meetings with Principal Galligan. When he first became principal, I met with him because I needed to know, he's got a new set of eyes on this school. What does he need? What's the wish list? What are the things that he's hoping to accomplish? What are his goals? And without hesitation, he agreed to that meeting. He set it up where a time and day was convenient for me. We met. He toured the whole school with me. We toured the outside of the school. We had a representative from the school department meet us there several weeks later to go over that wish list, to go over the things that we needed to get done, like right now, the things that we need to take care of while these students are on school vacation. That was a huge uphill challenge for him because the first project that he undertook was to repaint the interior of that building. He had to shuffle around teachers. He had to reschedule classes. He had to move students around where he was able to relocate them all in that building and make it all work and stay functional was quite a feat. So we have today a resolution of congratulations. Whereas Frank Galligan was named the Warwick Neck Principal in July 2021, and because of his innovative spirit and enthusiasm for teaching children, has been named Outstanding First Principal of the Year. And whereas Frank Galligan graduated from Bishop Hendricken School, received his bachelor's degree from Assumption University, his master's in secondary education from Providence College, and his master's in school leadership and administration from Harvard University. And whereas prior to becoming a principal at Warwick Neck Elementary School, Mr. Galligan was the interim principal at Norwood Elementary School, taught middle school social studies for 10 years in Rhode Island, and served as an administrator and principal in both the public and private schools of Boston. And whereas Mr. Galligan has contributed to the growth and development of our community, he has always been willing to place his concern for the public good ahead of his personal interest and thus has earned the admiration and high regard of other civic leaders and the affection of host of area residents. And whereas we recognize Frank Galligan as worthy of this highest honor and encourage him to continue his commitment to excellence. Now, therefore, it be resolved, the mayor in the city of Warwick and the Warwick City Council wish to congratulate Frank Galligan for this outstanding accomplishment and extend to him our deepest appreciation for all his dedicated work and wish him the best at all his future endeavors. This is signed by the mayor, the city clerk, and all the members of the city council. Mr. Galligan, please step up. So I think it's safe to assume that we all want to hear from Mr. Galligan, right? We want to hear a few words from him. There you go. I don't want to put you on the spot or nothing like that.
Where would you like me to stand?
You can stand wherever you'd like.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who's here tonight.
Mr. Gallo, if you could just lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance first.
Pledge of Allegiance first, sure, absolutely.
We need to go in order first.
Sure.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets red glare, the balls bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the
Thank you. Please be seated. Go ahead, Mr. Gallo. Thank you very much.
I will definitely keep it brief, but I want to first say thank you to all of you for having me here tonight. Thank you for the people that came. And I said this when I received the award about a week or so ago. Warwick is a very special place. I wouldn't have been able to accomplish half of what I've been able to do at the school at Warwick Neck or at Norwood if it wasn't for the people that I'm surrounding myself with, faculty, staff, members of the school committee, the city administration. If I was surrounded by really difficult people to work with, I wouldn't be able to get anything done. So I think it's really important that people understand just how special Warwick is and how many committed people there are, not only in our city leadership, but also in our school system. We have people that are really committed to the children and committed to, continuity of success in our city. And so thank you to everybody for this. I certainly appreciate this. I'll cherish this. I'll always look back on this with a lot of fondness, and I'm very appreciative to Mr. Lattiser for all of the things that he's done for me and for our school and, of course, for our city. So thank you to everybody.
Thank you very much, sir. We give Councilman Lattiser, Mikey gets a little excited. That was good. So we're a little out of order there, but it worked out perfect. So thank you for leading us in the pledge and doing the presentation there.
Mr. President, you know when you give Lattiser the mic, it's not going to be a short story.
Yeah. At this time, I just want to give a roadmap of what to expect on the council meeting this evening. So we have not finished the Intergovernmental Committee, so we will go back to that. But at this time, we're going to do general communications, executive communications. I'm going to ask for the acceptance of the minutes from the March 7th meeting. Then we will do public comment. So again, last call, there's a sign-up sheet on there if you'd like to speak on any Warwick topic. Then after the 15-minute public comment is completed, I am going to make a motion and ask for the City Council to adjust the agenda this evening and to take three items that are currently under unanimous consent, move them up to the top of the agenda. If the council pleases, we will do those three items. Then we will go back. We will pause the council meeting. We will go back into the Intergovernmental Committee, finish the work out of the Intergovernmental Committee, and come back into the full committee. So I know that's a lot, but I just want to give everybody a roadmap. And as we move forward, I'll give us updates. So at this time, is there anything from the council under general communications? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, President. We have two meetings of the Tax Relief Commission coming up before the next City Council meeting. The first is going to be at the Warwick Public Library Large Conference Room Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then a week from today here in the City Council chambers at 5:30. So any members of the public who would like to attend are absolutely welcome to. I'd also encourage my colleagues, especially if you do not have a designee on the commission, to also attend. And the focus of the Tax Relief Commission right now is on the existing exemptions, how they may be expanded so that people who really need the relief can receive that relief. And I'll give a brief example. I think that this one has not been updated in decades. Right now, in order to qualify for a tax freeze, a married couple who would be over age 70, so that's one of the first criteria, that someone in the household be age 70 plus or disabled. But in addition to that age 70 plus criteria, if the person is married, the total household income, the entire household, Social Security included, must be $15,000 or less. And if it's an individual, including a widow or a widower, it gets chopped in half to $7,500. I think we can all agree that folks who, I'll leave it at that. I think that public comment on topics like that are very important for the Tax Relief Commission to hear. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council people under general communications? Okay, we are now moving to executive communications. There are none. I'm looking for a motion for the acceptance of the minutes held on March 7th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman McElroy and Councilman Lattiser. Any questions on the minutes? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
Mr. Foley. Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Howe.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. McElroy. Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
Mr. Snappy. Abstain. Ms. Travis.
Abstain.
Thank you. The 6-2, the minutes are accepted. Next up on the agenda this evening is public comment. Rule 41. Oh, no, I know. Yeah, we need to grab the sign-up sheet. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each City Council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow for as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. At this time, three individuals have signed up. The first person is Cindy Wilson.
Hi,
Good evening, everybody. Well, I'm here once again to talk about Airbnb. And for those of you that don't know what it is a rental community that has invaded our city. We have 63 in our city, and I'm the only one that's regulated. I was made to perform a series of things in 2015 to get my license. And since then, I have fought with three administrations to try to get everyone else to. So far, nobody has. I've met with Solomon. Here's his proposal. This is the recent Pocosi proposal. So far, nothing has happened. I want you to understand how it affects your community. It affects your community because people are buying houses and renting them to people they don't know, and oftentimes they don't even live around here. That means you could have any number of people in your neighborhood that you don't know. The new ordinance proposes that the room has to be 70 square feet. I don't know if you can visualize that. And then they propose that four people should be able to stay in that room. Four people. There is one woman in Warwick that has a house that she doesn't live in, three rooms. So she could have 12 people. 12 people every night in your neighborhood. 12 people. 12 cars. 12 people. 12 parties. So I reached out to the city council, to every member except for Ed, because he knows about this battle, on March 9th. And I very nicely requested a private meeting with them so I could explain to them the struggles of Airbnb. There are pros and cons. I received three responses. One was from Mr. Foley, who said he received my response. The second was from, The second was from Sinappi, who said he was away and would call me back. And then I had I did have a conversation with Jeremy Nix and Vincent Gephardt. I was very happy that they took the time. That's it. So I want you to think about your council person, because those are the three I heard from that didn't bother to take the opportunity. And I said I would go to them to help your community. Didn't bother. Several days later, I reached out and said, gee, I'm so surprised you didn't answer me, because I'm trying to help your constituents. And I said, and this will be known at voter time. I received this from Mr. Foley, and I wish he was here, because I'd love to look him in the face. He said, if you're going to threaten us with going to the media, please take me off this thread. There is currently no legislation in front of us on this issue. When there is, I'll decide who I want to sit down with. Good night. So if he's your councilman, think about that. And if any of them, and just so you know, most of the Airbnbs in Warwick, there's 63. I'm the only regulated one. There's many of them in Oakland Beach. I was surprised that Donna didn't reach out to me. I was surprised that our president didn't bother, because you should be setting a precedent. So my understanding is there's going to be something on the docket about this, which is why I wanted to meet with people. So again, I'm begging you to let me show you the ins and outs of Airbnb. I've been a super host since 2014. So I happen to have a little bit of knowledge. So I just wanted to let everybody know how great your council people are. They didn't bother to talk to me to help you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Rob Cody.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. Last Friday, March 18th, I just want to remind everybody, was 7 months from the day that Mayor Pocosi went public to the press, to the media, and stated that he would seek restitution for the hundreds of thousands of dollars that was stolen from the Warwick Fire Department through the illegal unused sick pay scheme 7 months ago. Nothing's been done. No one on this council has had the integrity to put forward a resolution to go after that money that was taken from the taxpayers. He also stated to the public that he would never take political donations from employees, unions, or special interest politicians. Last quarter, he posted $28,000 in campaign contributions from those three entities. So his word kind of right now, I'm doubtful about it. I want to talk for a minute about the schools. On February 7th, the City Council unanimously passed the Stage 2 application for building two new schools of the cost of $350 to $400 million, and not one person on the council read the Stage 2 application. Not one. Two people in the city have read the entire 2,000-plus page application, myself and Mr. Cushman, because he did it through access to public records. We got the documents. If you had read it, you would find that, first of all, financially, there was a $50 million error in the amortization schedule of the payment plan. Small error, nevertheless, $50 million. You'd also find out, if you read the engineering report, that Pilgrim, which is now a Category 4 risk building, which is an official shelter, an emergency shelter, the new building is going to be built not as a Category 4 risk shelter, emergency shelter. And to do that, it's another 20 to 25%. Nobody knows that because why? No one read the documents, but you passed the documents without reading them, much like we did with the fire contract, if you recall, Mr. McAllister. There's major problems in that Stage 2 application. I have spoken with all parties, engineering, architectural, and RIDE. If anybody had read it and done their first due diligence, they would know that the $12 million of technical and furnishings are not covered by the state in reimbursement. We are now proposing schools at $700 a square foot. The maximum that the state reimburses is $551 a square foot. That leaves $74,947,000 on the table. Who's going to pay for that? This is why a five-year plan is so important. When that school building goes cost overruns of 25 to 30 or even more millions of dollars, where's it going to come from? That's where it's coming from. Why? Because it wasn't planned. Why? That Stage 2 application should have been stopped right here because no one read it. That's completely irresponsible upon this body. Nobody read an application that affects the taxpayers for generations to come. I have specific expertise in building of schools because I've done 30 of them. Not one of them has a photovoltaic facade that costs millions of dollars. Not one. New technology hasn't ever been used. But that's what we want to do. That, and we're also going to put rock climbing walls inside the school for the students to climb up rocks after lunch and possibly incur liability. Those are only some of the small problems with this application process. We're building, right now, we have 474,000 square feet of space. We're only using 61.47% of that. We want to build bigger schools of 503,000 square feet. When the demographic studies show that from now until 2040, we're going to have declining students. So this is the point. You can't just take the default position and throw it to the taxpayers, which I know what this council is going to do. They're going to say, hey, we'll give it to the taxpayers. Let them decide. Do you think how many people in here are going to read the 2,000-page document before they do this? Warwick cannot afford these schools in the presentation that they've been made now.
30 seconds.
And we need to do something about it. And the first thing is this council needs to actually read the reports that have been put forth, that you actually have the obligation to your constituents to read them, understand them, and ask questions. So I know we'll hold public forums, but unfortunately, those public forums are after the fact. And then there's nothing we can do about it except cast that debt onto the next generation. Thank you.
Thank you. The final speaker is Bob Cushman.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to touch on also that application process and some of the things that I saw in that. There's really no financial analysis of what this is going to have an effect on the taxpayers. We're talking about $350 million in borrowing. Just for some perspective, right now our debt limit or our debt in the city is probably between $50 and $70 million. That's what it's been for like the last 10 years. We're going to just about make that five times higher, $350 million, probably $400 million. there's, you know, I asked questions to the council during that meeting. Did anybody look at what the debt capacity of the city? The answer was no. No one looked at it. We're actually going to have a referendum on the ballot to ask the city to go above and beyond the state law. There's a formula. I think we could borrow about 300 something million. And when you subtract everything that we've already borrowed, it's about 180, 200. We're going to have to exceed our debt limit. So the whole process has been so rushed. The school department came in knowing they had a timeline of getting this to ride, but they had to go to an emergency procedure to get it to the council. The application wasn't even finished, and the council approved it. And then when we look at this stuff, there is no analysis of what this is going to cost, and Councilman Lattisaw is proposing a five-year forecast to include all these numbers in so we can actually see what effect it's going to have on our taxes. So here's an interesting thing. You know, Rob just alluded to this. There's going to be hearings in all the wards, I think, coming soon by the school department. It's kind of like displaying a brand new car. Everybody's going to love it. None of these deficiencies can be changed. Once that application is approved by RIDE, that is it. So the school is not a shelter. If we want to get that change, we can't make that approval and change that. So we're going to borrow money. We're probably going to have a massive supplemental tax increase. And then what we're going to do is we're going to get the process going. There'll probably be a change order because, oops, we forgot to make it an emergency shelter. That's going to cost us tens of millions of dollars or more. By the time it gets into the point where it's almost ready to be open, they're going to say, you need $10 or $20 million more. We can only get $8 million, $9 million on a maximum tax increase. So what are we going to have, another supplemental tax increase? Final point, this council tonight is going to decide to delay the revaluation process. They've never looked at the data. Nobody knows why. I know the mayor's making the proposal. It hasn't been released to the public. There is going to be some communities, yeah, that might pay less because, you know, their value isn't going higher. But there's also going to be some people that are going to get kind of screwed because they might have got a tax break. So the thing is, if people can't afford to pay a tax increase from a reval, how the hell are they going to be able to afford to pay for what it's going to cost to build these new schools? Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. At this time, I have a few procedural things to go over. I'm going to request that we move up items 1, 2, and 3 under unanimous consent to the top of the agenda at this time. So we're going to take two different votes a couple different times. So the first vote we are going to take right now is an agreement to hear PCO 2-22 at this time. Any objection to moving up to the start of the agenda? Then we're going to take another vote, roll call vote, on if there are any objections to hearing this under unanimous consent. Then, if that proceeds, then we will hear PCO 2-22. Then we'll do the same for 2 and the same for 3. So, at this time, I am looking for a motion to move item number 1 under unanimous consent, PCO 2-22, to the top of the agenda. Councilman Ricks. And second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. So, the clerk is going to call the roll. This is just to move it to the top of the agenda.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes move to the top of the agenda.
Okay. So now the next procedural question we are going to ask is I'm going to need a motion and a second and a roll call vote to hear this item at this time under unanimous consent. So do I have a motion? Councilman Ricks?
Moved. Second.
Second by Councilman Lattisa, Councilman Sinapi, and Councilman McElroy, and Councilman Howe. Okay, so the clerk will call the roll to hear this item at this time, the PCO 2-22.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes.
Thank you. So we are now able to take up the item PCO 2-22, an ordinance relative to the amendment of Appendix B. So this is for second passage. I docketed this under on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. At the last meeting, I thought we had a very good and important public hearing on this. We've been hearing from constituents, for over 6 months, reaching out, working on these items before us, including PCO 2-22. Are there any questions from members of the council or, that they were unable to ask at the last meeting? Councilman Lattiser.
Mr. President, I move favorable action on PCO 2-22.
Okay, thank you. I do want to, because we didn't get to go to committee, I have to ask the public first to speak on it, then we'll take a motion. But are there any comments or questions from the council? Okay, oh, Councilwoman Travis.
You got to excuse me because I got the gauze of my mouth. Okay. I was not here for that, the first meeting, but I did talk to a lot of constituents. I did talk and I did a lot of homework on it, and I was already kind of listening to everything what everybody said before, but I just wanted you to know I did do my homework. I did follow up, so I feel that I could vote on it tonight.
The woman Travis. Councilman Sinapi.
I'm in a similar boat. I watched the meeting from afar, though I wasn't allowed to participate. Thank you, General Assembly, for not passing that law yet. But other than that, I am up to date, and I'm more than willing and able to vote should we have one.
Thank you very much, Councilman Sinapi. Any other questions or concerns from the council? Okay, as this was not in any committee, I would like to open it up to members of the public if they have any comments on PCO 2-22. This is for second passage. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this? Are there any members of the public? To the podium, sir.
Good evening, President McAllister, members of the Warwick City Council, public members who are here this evening. And I want to basically thank all of you for prioritizing these items tonight and understanding the significance of it. I still support it, as do every resident I know that it's supported over the months. I'm not going to get into details. You've already heard those. And I also want to thank Mr. Walsh for his diligence and guidance that he's given to the City Council in moving this forward. Other than that, if this passes tonight, I want everybody in this council to give yourself a big, big pat on the back. You deserve a lot of kudos. And I feel that this legislation, once passed, will set a new model for the state of Rhode Island. During the last week, I've had people from other municipalities call me, ask me where it stands. They want a model after it. That's it. Kudos to everybody in the City Council, and hope it gets passed tonight. Thank you again.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on PCO 2-22? Go right up, ma'am.
Hello. I've already spoken a few times at the public meetings, but I just wanted to kind of ask if this passes tonight. I'm for it passing. Fully, but I just wanted to ask if this would apply to existing arrays, like the small pieces that were put in about like pesticide use, buffer zones, things like that, if the existing arrays that have been put in Warwick would be also subject to this or not.
Call on Solicitor Walsh.
So the item before us at this moment, PCO 2-22, is a series of amendments to comprehensive plan. That is the guidance document that all of our zoning ordinances need to comply with in order for them to be fully enforceable. So as it pertains to that question, if second passage is achieved by the council as to the comp plan and approved by the mayor, that would immediately go into effect as the strategic plan for how we enforce all of the zoning ordinances related to the items that it's consistent with.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's me. Excuse me, ma'am.
Ma'am, we just need your name for the record.
I just need your name for the record, please.
Crystal Roberts. Crystal Roberts.
Crystal, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just want to thank all of you for listening. We've been at this for months and months and months. I'm sorry. Barbara Walsh, Ward 2. Where is the mic? I just want to thank all of you for the listening that you've done for the past months and months, and the mayor, and Mr. Kravitz. All of you are embodying what good government should be, which makes my heart very warm and gleeful, actually. And I'm really pleased to see this process the way it's unfolded over the last, 10 months, a year. I'm really happy about your listening to us about what we want as citizens for quality of life issues in Warwick. So thank you very much.
Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on PCO 2-22? Okay, Councilman Lattiser, I believe you have a motion.
We'll act on PCO 2-22.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, second by Councilman Gephardt, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Howe, and Councilman Ricks. Any final questions or concerns on PCO 2-22? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action for second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, second passage.
Thank you very much. PCO 2-22 passes. All right. We are now going to do another procedural thing. I would like to make a see if I can get a motion to move PCO 3-22 sub A to the top of the agenda. Councilman Ricks.
So moved.
Second by Councilman McElroy, Councilman Howe, and Councilman Lattiser. So the clerk will call the roll just to move this item to the top of the agenda.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes.
Okay, thank you. The next motion I'm going to be looking for is if we, is there any objection to hearing PCO 3-22 sub A under unanimous consent? Does anyone want to make a motion? Councilman Lattiser.
Motion to move it ahead.
To hear it under unanimous consent?
Yes.
Second by Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy. Okay, and Councilman Gephardt. Okay, the clerk will call the roll on PCO 3-22 sub A to hear it at this time under unanimous consent.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Yes. Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes to have PCO 3-22 sub A.
Thank you. So motion passes. So now we will now hear PCO 3-22 sub A. Again, I was one of the sponsors on behalf of Mayor Picozzi. I believe almost everyone also co-sponsored as well. Are there any questions from members of the council that they didn't ask during the public hearing at the last meeting? Okay, since this was not heard in committee, I would like to give members of the public an opportunity. Are there any comments on PCO 3-22 sub A for second passage that the public would like to make at this time? Are there any comments on PCO 3-22 sub A that the public would like to make at the time? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion? Councilman Lattiser.
None, ever. Make a motion for favorable action on PCO 3-22.
Sub A.
Sub A.
Thank you. Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Howe, Councilman Ricks, Councilman McElroy. Any questions on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action for second passage on PCO 3-22 sub A.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, second passage.
Thank you. PCO 3-22 sub A, second passage passes. Okay, one more procedural thing. I am going to ask the committee, if anyone would make a motion to move PCO 35-21 to the top of the agenda. Does anyone make that motion? Councilman Gephardt.
I move to move PCO 35-21 to the top of the agenda.
Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman McElroy. Councilman Latter, sir. Okay, the clerk will call the roll to move PCO 35-21 to the top of the agenda.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latter? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes to move to the top.
Thank you. Now, the next procedural question I'm going to ask for a motion for is to hear PCO 35-21 under unanimous consent at this time. Councilman Gephardt.
Move to hear PCO 35-21 under unanimous consent.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Howe, and Councilman McElroy. Any questions on? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll to hear PCO 35-21 under unanimous consent at this time.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latticer?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes. Yes.
8 yes to hear PCO 35-21.
Thank you. We can now hear PCO 35-21. This is for second passage. Councilman Gephardt.
Respectfully request favorable action.
Do we have a second? We're going to open it up first. Any other comments or anything at this time? Okay. Any comments from members of the council? Okay. Again, this item was not heard in committee, so I want to give the public an opportunity to speak on this. This is PCO 35-21. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak on this at this time? Any members of the public would like to speak on PCO 35-21 at this time? Okay. Hearing none, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Latticer, Councilman Howe, and Councilman McElroy. Any questions on the motion of favorable action on PCO 35-21 for second passage? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on second passage.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Latticer? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
8 yes, second passage.
Thank you very much. PCO 35-21 is passed for second passage. Okay, at this time, I'm going to ask for two motions. One is I'm going to ask to pause the city council meeting. We have more business to do in the intergovernmental committee. But before that, I would like to make a motion for a 5-minute recess before we call the intergovernmental committee. Councilman Howe.
Move to pause the council committee to go back to the committee. The council meeting to go back to the committee.
And a 5-minute recess.
And a 5-minute recess.
Second.
Second by Councilwoman Travis. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstention? Thank you. We are in recess.
It is now 8:03 and the Intergovernmental Committee resumes. We will continue with PCR 12-22, a resolution requesting collective bargaining participants to consider reforming the City of Warwick's healthcare benefit plan design. Councilman Latticer?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your indulgence in giving me so much time earlier. I'll kind of wrap it up and bring it full circle. So the intent here, again, is to request on the bargaining groups, as well as the administration, not just the current bargaining groups or the current administration or at the request of the current city council, but on behalf of everyone moving forward, to take into consideration these requests that we're putting forth when these contracts are being negotiated. And keep in mind that right now we have a cap on a copay for healthcare. In some cases, it's 20%. Some cases, it's less. And in some cases, there's actually a cap on what that contribution could mean. So healthcare as an example, could increase 10-15%, and the cap on copay is in place, they would pay no more. The stop law, or the cap on prescription drugs, is a significant concern as well. You heard me talk about the cost of the pharmacy plan, and this number comes from Mr. Schaefer in 2020-21 fiscal year of $4,621,467. That's free. The taxpayers bear 100% of that. The cap on prescription drugs for active employees is $300 cap on single plan and $600 on a family plan. Think about how expensive and how costly that is to the taxpayers. So again, thank you for bearing with me on this, Mr. Chair and members of the committee and my colleagues on the council. With all of that said, I'm requesting respectfully support on this legislation that will request the bargaining groups of the administration, when they're at the table, to consider and work towards accomplishing these goals of reducing this just unconscionable, unsustainable cost of health care. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions or comments from the committee? Council President.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I support this resolution. I thank Councilman Lattiser for bringing forward. I think this is the right venue for this. It's requesting during collective bargaining. That's where these decisions need to get made. That's where these things are negotiated. They should consider these things, and I think this is the right avenue to do this. So I support this resolution this evening, and I would like to see things collectively bargained, and they should absolutely consider these reforms when they're negotiating here. So I thank the councilman for bringing this forward, and I support this. Thank you.
Any other questions, Councilman Ricks?
Thank you, Chairman. Let's see. As a co-sponsor, I did see this after it was initially introduced, and is so. After that, I discussed some of the language with Councilman Lattiser, and I think that I can certainly support this. I do think that there could be a couple of minor amendments just so that our motives as a city council are clear on this. Of course, this is all part of the collective bargaining process, and everyone coming to the table on this, the city representing the taxpayers, the unions and their leadership representing active members, retirees, and new hires, everyone needs to be represented here, and we have to find a solution that really works for everyone. So I have an amendment to propose. Pardon the length. I have just sent a copy of it to our council solicitor in writing for simplicity. So if you look at approximately line 25, so this is the first piece of the amendment. It's adding a couple of whereas clauses. So the first addition would be a new paragraph that states, whereas independent actuaries presenting before the Warwick City Council have advised that the city's long-term financial condition is beyond the, quote, point of no return, comma, end quote, meaning that the funding of the city's combined contractual commitments to retirees, i.e. pensions and pensions and retirement health insurance, open parentheses, also known as other post-employment benefits, or OPEB, close parentheses, cannot be fully satisfied in the long term, even if the city imposes maximum tax increases each year in perpetuity, with every dollar raised applied to such commitments while freezing spending at current levels, semicolon, and comma. And here's the second paragraph. Whereas, if representatives of all stakeholders, open parentheses, the city and taxpayers, comma, active employees, comma, future new hires, comma, and retirees, close parentheses, cannot agree on and follow through with a plan for long-term financial sustainability that is acceptable to all before the city reaches a state of financial crisis, a financial crisis will become unavoidable, comma, and the outcomes of such a crisis would likely be disastrous to all stakeholders, semicolon. So that's the first amendment to those whereas clauses to clarify the city council's, one of the sources of the city council's concerns on this. And then as to the paragraph that begins at line 26, much of it is kept the same, and I'll just read it with the changes, and I'll note where the changes are. So it begins the same way. Whereas the city could realize a significant financial savings in annual health care costs if future collective bargaining agreements reformed the city of Warwick's health care benefit, and here I insert the word plan for consistency. So it reads, health care benefit plan designed by, and it continues in its current form, colon, increasing out-of-pocket maximums and pharmacy copayments to align with the state of Rhode Island's anchor healthcare plan design, semicolon, requiring a minimum co-share of 25% on healthcare coverage, semicolon. And here's where the language is stricken from the current draft that reads, or for new hires to either eliminate eligibility entirely or requiring co-share contributions towards health care coverage upon retirement. So this amendment would strike that language and replace it with and/or, for new hires, comma, when they retire, comma, to pay for 100% of the premium in effect for health insurance, semicolon, and then it continues there in its present form. The purpose of this second amendment to make it clear that this city council is not requesting, I repeat, not requesting that the collective bargaining process do anything to affect the rights of new hires to receive health insurance during their while they are active employees of the city. And certainly that was not the intent of the sponsor from speaking with the sponsor, but I could see how it could be read otherwise in the previous language. So we want to make that absolutely crystal clear that we're not looking to make those sorts of changes for active employees, including new hired active employees, when it comes to restructuring of health insurance in that way, with potentially to be discussed as part of the collective bargaining process, increasing the copay for active employees to 25%. However, I also felt strongly that it's important for me as a member of the city council, and I hope that it's important for other members of this city council to express that we are not looking to eliminate this benefit for whether it's retirees, active employees, or for new hires. What I want to express is that as to new hires in particular, that's where I am most concerned about making sure that new